Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for today will be taken from our gospel reading in Matthew chapter 2. So don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by a little baby, by a star in the sky, by wise men and camels and nativity scenes. Don't be fooled by the nostalgia, the beautiful songs that tell the story. For we recognize who this is. Don't be fooled by children playing with nativity scenes, rearranging the figures. For this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Matthew's message for us today is anything but child's play. Profound theology is delivered to us here. Matthew's story is cosmic, it is political, and it is personal. So let's start with the cosmic. Epiphany is cosmic. And we immediately get that sense as we begin to read the texts for this day, and we see this theme of darkness and light that is communicated through them. In our Old Testament reading for today, the prophecy regarding Epiphany, we see that very clearly. The first three verses of that text read, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and a thick darkness over the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Light scattering the darkness. Light breaking into our dark world. The imagery is reminiscent of Genesis chapter 1 and the creation of the world. For there too there was darkness, and the earth was formless and void. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was only one option. For the Lord of the universe was speaking. And there was light. These same themes then reoccur at the recreation, the story of recreation, the advent of Christ and the epiphany of Christ. John tells us in his gospel that Jesus is the light of the world. And again, he tells us that he is the true light that has come into this world to give light to everyone. Matthew then, in his version telling the story, picks up on those very same themes. In the ancient world, there seemed to have been a perceived connection between the heavens and the earth, more so than certainly we consider today. But the idea was that there was this connectedness between the heavens and the earth, and if you saw something happening in the one, there would be a corresponding event in the other. So if you looked into the skies, into the heavens, and you saw that there was a sign of some sort there, you began to look on earth for a corresponding event. And so it was with the Magi. As they looked into the heavens and they saw something unique happening there, they began to look on earth for its corresponding happening or event. It was the book of Scripture connected to the book of nature, so to speak. Matthew then taps into this understanding, this perception of that day, and he tells the story. A story about the Magi, a story about a star. And so the Magi, those who studied the heavens, and many things as well, those who were looking for connections, they saw a rather unique event in the heavens. And they begin to wonder, what was this about? And they came to the conclusion that because of the movement of things that were happening in the heavens, that this signaled that a great king would be born, a king would be born to the Jews. And so they wanted to see this thing. They wanted to know what exactly had happened, and so they followed the star to Jerusalem and eventually to Bethlehem, the place where Jesus was laid. Scholars for centuries have debated exactly what this star was. And, you know, it runs the gamut. There are many theories. It runs all the way from the place where it said, well, it was just a story that was not real, all the way to the place where it says, well, this was a supernatural event that God had placed in the skies. And, of course, there are many things in between. Not too long ago, in the 1990s, there was a discovery that was made. Quite accidentally, well, the beginning of it was accidental at any rate. There was a professor from none other than Rutgers University, right here in our own state, Michael Molnar. He wasn't even particularly interested in the Star of Bethlehem. He was an astronomer, but he wasn't interested in that star at all. But he was also a coin collector, and he bought an ancient coin that had been minted in the early first century. And he began to explore this coin and what it meant, the image that was on it. And it was an image of a ram looking back up over its shoulder at a star in the sky. And through his research, he began to understand that the ram was symbolic of Judah. And of course, then he began to make the connections, and this was to represent that happening of the star that appeared in the sky. And so then he started doing more research, you know, with his astronomy background. And he came to the conclusion that the star that is written about in the scriptures was actually Jupiter. And he continued to study, and where it says that it rose in the east, he began to understand that in the ancient world that was a reference to a morning star, a star that would rise and appear just over the horizon before the sun would rise. And then he, through computer generation, he mapped the orbits of the planet and others. He came to understand that in the sky it would have appeared as if Jupiter came to a place and stopped and then changed directions, which theoretically could have corresponded with the time when the star came to stop and point in Bethlehem. He also found out that this occurred three times in the year 7 BC and again three times in 6 BC. And of course, we know that our calendar is wrong, that Jesus wasn't born in the year zero. He was actually born, well, we don't really know, but anywhere from 4 to 6 BC. And through a number of these things, you know, he came up with this theory that the star was indeed the planet Jupiter. Our understanding of astronomy and this star, or our lack thereof, though, while fascinating, is really beside the point, isn't it? Because the point is, the point that we want to take home with us is what Matthew is seeking to communicate to us by relating this. And that point is absolutely clear. That this is indeed a cosmic event. It's just not an earthly thing, but here is a sign that has been placed into the heavens for us by God so that we might know something special is happening. The story that Matthew tells is a cosmic event. But this is not just an earthly king, but this is the Lord of the universe who is born into our world. In addition, it's not only cosmic, but it's also political. Again, let's focus on what Matthew's message to us is. And the message is that this is the King of kings who was born. Not just a local king, but this is the king for all, the king of kings. And so the Magi come and they announce that they have seen his star. And the Magi, by coming and bowing down before Jesus, essentially are anointing him as their king. So this is his star, and this is his world. You can imagine how politically explosive this message must have been. A parade of dignitaries riding into Jerusalem and proclaiming, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star and we have come to worship him." Did they not know about Herod? His jealousy? How protective he was of his rule? How many people he had already killed who had threatened him and his rule? Did they not know of these things? Perhaps not. But you can understand how politically explosive their arrival in Jerusalem must have been. But again, let's focus on Matthew's message to us. That they came proclaiming that this is a king for kings. And in fact, as we look in the scriptures, that's exactly what the scriptures tell us. There are a number of places where we see that, but for our purposes today, we can merely go to our psalm for today, Psalm 72, that we sang earlier. Here again, a portion of that psalm, beginning at verse 6. "May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him." The Apostle Paul in our epistle reading for today talks about it as well. Only he talks about it as a mystery hidden for ages and ages and ages, and now finally by the work of the Holy Spirit revealed that this one who is born is not just a king for the Jews, but he is a king for all people. And in his reign and in his dominion, he brings together both Jew and Gentile into one kingdom, his church. And so the Magi come and they kneel down before Jesus and they present to him gifts for a king, gold and frankincense and myrrh, for the King of Kings. Which brings us to our final point, and that is that this story is also personal. And very frankly, the cosmic and the political are of no substance unless it is also personal. And that is Matthew's message as well. That more than anything, this passage is an invitation for you too to come and to kneel down and to give your gifts to this one who is given to us. It's an invitation for you to embrace him as the cosmic Lord of the universe, the Lord of all who has come into this world. It is an invitation for you also to embrace him as the King of Kings, the one who is over all in this world. But most especially, it is an invitation for you to have him in your heart as your Lord and as your Savior, because that essentially is what he came to do. Not for an earthly rule, but rather to bring the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God to us, to shatter the darkness of sin that covers us. But we remember that none of this happens except by the work of the Holy Spirit. No star in the sky and understanding of the star, or observance of kings or wise men that come from afar to give him tribute, convince us. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit through this Word of God that leads us to embrace him as to who he really is, the Lord of the universe, the King of Kings, and for us to come as well before him and to lay our gifts at his feet. In Jesus' name, amen.